20 minutes past 5 o'clock, welcome back to Radio Islam International. In a courtroom saga that underscores the complexities of accountability and legal process, the Gauteng High Court has placed the blame squarely on the former public protector South Africa, which is known as PPSA, offers for delays in the hearing of Busisiwe Mkhwebane's urgent challenge to the non-payment of her 10 million rand gratuity. Despite her efforts, Mkhwebane faces further hurdles as the PPSA struggles to provide the necessary documents justifying its decision. Let's delve deeper into the unfolding legal drama with Advocate Stephanie Fick, who's an Executive Director for the Accountability and Public Governance Division at the organization Undoing Tax Abuse. So thank you very much. Good day to you, Stephanie, and joining us on Radio Islam.
Good afternoon. It's only a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Advocate, could you provide us with your insights into the recent court ruling blaming the former public protector's office for delays in Busisiwe's gratuity case?
So in a nutshell, is that the previous public protector, Advocate Mkhwebane, took the public protector's office decision not to pay out the 10 million gratuity on review. And what it appears from the judgment this afternoon is that the public protector's office didn't provide the record of the decision. So normally when you review the decisions, you need to provide the court with the record of your decision making. In other words, you know, the decision, why did you make the decision, etc. And it appears that the public protector was a bit didn't provide that timeously. So the court did say that it was the public protector's office reason why the matter couldn't be heard. So the matter wasn't ripe for hearing. And that normally means that there's not enough before the court in order to make a decision, and that the public protector has until Friday to provide those reasons for why they do not want to pay the gratuity. The cost of today's application is unfortunately, the public protector's office is going to pay that.
Mm. So, Advocate Fick, what implications do these delays have for Mkhwebane's urgent challenge to the non-payment of her gratuity?
Well, obviously, if you are, sort of acting on our behalf, I'm going to assume that she wants the 10 million gratuity. She doesn't agree with the fact that the payment isn't forthcoming. I think she also claims that financially, she's struggling because it was a reduction in salary when she went from the public protector's office to an NP. And the longer this takes, the longer she has to wait for a decision of court whether she must get her 10 million rand. But what is, and I'm still of the view that I think this is an ill-conceived application. The 10 million rand gratuity is not, it's a discretionary payment. It is not something that someone must get. It is about basically, saying thank you to a public protector that has done a job well. It's like a performance bonus. But in the case of the previous public protector, Advocate Mkhwebane, we all know that she was removed because of, she was unable to do her job. It was because of her actions that she was removed. And that in that circumstances, why should she be allowed to get 10 million? So I do believe that the application is ill-conceived and that she shouldn't be successful. But now, unfortunately, because of these delays, we are where we are. And that it's going to cost the public protector even more to now go and defend it on another day.
We have learned that the court has ordered the PPSA to pay punitive legal costs. Mm-hmm. So what message does this send about accountability within such institutions?
We were so happy that the public protector's office was taken over, by someone else, and that they hopefully can start working on that trust deficit we have with the public protector's office, because the misconduct and incompetence of the previous public protector was, I think, did a lot of damage to the public protector's office. Now we have, again, the public protector's office that has to pay punitive costs because they didn't abide by, requests. Under normal circumstances, it is normal procedure that if there's a review application, you have a limited time in order to provide certain documents, to provide the record, to provide your reasons, etc. That's common procedure. And that, you know, this does not bode well with one's sense that, you know, is the public protector again abusing the processes, because we've seen a lot of that. So, yeah, it does give you a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth, because punitive cost means that it's, you know, attorney-client scale. So it's again going to cost the public protector's office, and guess where that money comes from? It comes from the fiscus. Where does the fiscus get their money? South Africans. So, yeah, the price to be paid is not the individual that made the mistake, South Africans that's going to pay.
Mm. You've mentioned regarding misconduct and incompetence. So in your opinion, Stephanie, how do you think the situation reflects the broader issue of accountability in public offices, particularly considering Mkhwebane's removal due to this misconduct and incompetence?
Yeah, if that whole process is a good example of what should happen. The Section 194, that whole process and investigation and the process in Parliament and all of that, which was a good thing. What, you know, the negative thing about it is that it took so long. That literally just before the public defender entered her period, her unrenewable period, she was removed. So it is a good thing. I think one should celebrate the positive things in life. There's so many negative things. Is that there you see a process that worked and that she was held accountable. Now, unfortunately, again, we need to discuss whether she deserves a 10 million gratuity. And I don't know about you, but one just feels that if you look at what she cost the public protector's office. I mean, I heard some scary numbers. When the 194 investigation was, or that committee was sitting, I mean, they spent 30 million on her legal, the public protector's office spent 30 million on Advocate Mkhwebane's legal costs. They spent 147 million on legal costs to defend her reports. They spent 330,000 rand on travel and 565,000 rand on bodyguards. Mm. So the financial damage that was done to that office while she was there, and then she still wants to be, you know, patted on the back and given a 10 million gratuity. I mean, I just need to ask this. Why is the public protector getting any gratuity after they, I mean, they get a salary of around, 2.3 million thereabouts. It's a big salary. But that's a discussion for another day. As an MP, she gets around 1.2 million, which is not something to be frowned upon, but okay. It's you know, some people complain with you know, salary like 1.2 million. It's ridiculous, really.
Stephanie, given the ongoing legal battle and the challenges faced, what do you foresee as the likely outcome for Mkhwebane's application to challenge the non-payment of her gratuity?
You know, my gut tells me, what happened today in court is a bit of a, a letdown, because, you know, it just drags the whole process out. But I don't think she deserves the 10 million. There's nothing in the Public Protectors Act, there's nothing in the Constitution that, you know, puts a duty on the Public Protector's Office to pay this. It is something that's part of her employment contract. So it is like, if you are an underperforming individual and you do not qualify for a performance bonus, and then you sue your employer because you still want your performance bonus despite the fact that you were an underperforming employee, which just doesn't make sense. So my gut tells me that she should not be successful, and that I also don't think that this is urgent to a large degree, and that is an abuse of process.
Hmm.
So the Public Protector's Office should be successful in not paying that gratuity.
Advocate, lastly, in light of these events, what steps do you believe are necessary to ensure that greater transparency and efficiency in the management of public resources, as well as the accountability of public officials in the future?
We are are not where we're supposed to be. I think that the problems, corruption is rife, and it's because there's no accountability. So here and there, we do see accountability. I mean, recently, we've seen that the board of NSFAS was dissolved. We saw that Nongogo was fired because of certain things that happened, the maladministration and corruption in, services, CETA, and we hear all these things. So they are some accountability, but if I just look at the amount of times that we have to take, for example, government to court because they don't want to be transparent, I am worried that we are still not getting the transparency at a level that we need in order to enforce accountability, because transparency, in my view, equals accountability, because if you know what's happening, you can deal with accountability. I think as civil society and I want to add, journalists and all of that, by keeping this in the news, we keep on talking about it and holding people to account, I think we will get there. But government, the lesson the government needs to learn is that if they don't have anything to hide, why aren't they transparent? And that all, procurement processes, tenders that's awarded, should be available to each and every person in this country. So as an organization, that is something we're fighting hard for. It is, it's a process. We're not going to win this fight against transparency and corruption and accountability tomorrow. But, with civil active citizens out there and with an election looming, one can only hope that slowly but surely we will win this fight.
Stephanie, we leave it at that. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Islam. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
That was Advocate Stephanie Fick speaking to us regarding the saga that underscores the complexities of accountability and legal process, and speaking regarding Busisiwe Mkwebane's urgent challenge to the non-payment of her 10 million rand gratuity.